Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. If you are a father and you did not get one of these cool, super-duper bookmarks, then raise your hand and we'll make sure you get one because we want you to be one of the coolest fathers around. Who didn't get one? Raise your hand. All right, Molly's got them there. Hold your hand up until you get one. We got plenty of them. All right. Let's see, I got a few of them right here. We'll take one of these, guys. Here we go. Happy Father's Day to you. We are glad to have you here today, and we're glad to celebrate Father's Day on a great day like this. We've been studying and focusing on prayer here at in our church family, and really trying to focus on things that will help us to be more and more of a house of prayer to the Lord, so that we become known by folks around that we're a house of prayer. So if you've got stuff going on in your life you need prayers for, then this is a place that you can come and you'll have your prayers lifted up before the Lord. And so we're trying to learn some things to help us to do that better. And we were focusing last week in our study on prayer. We were talking about some things about what we call posture in prayer. You know, things like standing or kneeling and lifting hands and all of those kinds of physical things that we do, and sometimes how important those are because those are expressions of our respect and admiration to God. I want to talk this morning, we're going back to one of our strongholds because that's where we've been for a little while and where we're going to go back to this morning. I want to talk about a stronghold that's probably one of the toughest strongholds out there. And I think that it fits very well with our celebrating Father's Day today, and hopefully as I share some thoughts with you on this, you'll see why I say that. This is the breaking the feeling unloved stronghold. We start out in the text that Holloway read for us this morning in Proverbs 19, in verse 22, where the wise man says, "What a man desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar." The wise man telling us that what we desire within us is to be loved unconditionally. Unfailing love. We have to stop and ask ourselves a question, but wait a minute. He's saying here, that's what we desire, and I take this to be above everything else in life. What we desire more than anything is unfailing love. That's what we desire in our heart of hearts. The reason I believe that is so is because God intentionally, or some would say purposefully, created us with that desire. The reason that He did that is because He wants us more than anything to seek a relationship with Him. And the need for unfailing love, the desire that is created within us to have unfailing love, is to draw us to a God who provides that very thing. And then there's that second line of that proverb. It's like, why did they throw that in there? Better to be poor than a liar? What has that got to do with desiring unfailing love? Well, I think it's quite simply the idea that we oftentimes seek all kinds of stuff in order to satisfy that need for love, And sometimes we even lie and deceive ourselves by the things that we pursue and the ways that we try to go about getting that unfailing love. And so the wise man would tell us that, yes, it is better even to be poor in that love than to deceive ourselves and try to find it where it cannot be found. Let's talk about unfailing love, this stronghold. Because, you know, there's an awful lot of people that are struggling with this very thing. There are a lot of people, and I suspect some even within this audience this morning, who struggle with feelings of not being loved. I have had conversations with a lot of different people over the years when it comes to talking about God and a relationship with God that have said things like, I really have a difficult time having a relationship with God and knowing and feeling that God really does love me when I didn't have that kind of a relationship with my own father. How can I love a heavenly father who I can't see when my own father abused me or mistreated me or left my family or whatever the issue is? And so people are struggling with the whole feeling and issue and the need to have unfailing love. We need to understand what this unfailing love is really all about. As I said a few moments ago, when you look at your notes, the first thing that we have there is talking about the fact that we are created for love. God wants a relationship with us. And we've talked about many, many times before the relationship that Adam and Eve had in the garden with God before they sinned. It was that what we call a walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship. One where they were able to communicate with God, to talk with God. And they had that kind of a relationship. And that's the kind of relationship that God wants to restore with mankind. That's what it means to be reconciled to God. When a person confesses and repents of their sins and has those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, then they are reconciled to God. You see, because that's what God desires, is to for us to be in relationship with Him. Why does He desire that? Because of His unfailing love. Okay. He loved us so much. And He has this unfailing love that He loved us so much that He sent His Son to die so that we could be restored to that relationship with Him. That we could receive over and over again that unfailing love. You see, one of the things that we have to understand about this and why this unfailing love thing is such a difficulty for us is that God is the one who has it. Notice some things that the Bible says about God. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it tells us God is love. Now, that's interesting to me because it doesn't just tell us God has some love, and it doesn't just tell us that God gives us some love and He kind of dispenses a little bit here and a little bit there, and if you really behave yourself, then He'll give you a little bit more, and you go, well, God, you know, I'm feeling a little empty today. Do you have a little bit to spare? No, it doesn't say anything like that. It says God is love. Now, think about what that means. One author said it this way. He said, God's love does not come and go. It doesn't ebb and flow. It is. In other words, God cannot love you. He cannot love me any more or any less than he does right now. I don't know about you, but to me, that's awesome. You see, when you mess up, notice I said when, okay? When you mess up, God doesn't love you any less than he does when you're doing lots of good things. Because his love isn't based on our performance. Isn't that great? Yeah. It doesn't depend on how many hoops you jump through in order to get God's love. It doesn't depend on whether you do everything right. God still loves Ted even though he messed up some songs this morning. Isn't that great? God still loves you, Ted. You see? We don't have to always get it right in order for God to continue to love us. He loves us all the time because His love is unfailing. And He created within every one of us. Every person that He has created, He created within them this desire to have that unfailing love. And He provides that for us. You see, God's love never fails. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 6 in verse 4, "Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love." In Psalm 32 and verse 10, "Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him." In 33 and verse 5, "The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love." God's love truly is unfailing. But ours, not so much so. You see, we oftentimes have a problem with loving people, don't we? Because our love is not always unfailing. Our love probably could be better defined as being very conditional. Because we tend to love one another when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, then love is oftentimes kind of withdrawn or held back. And that's because of our sinful nature. You see, I'm convinced that we're really not capable of providing one another total and complete unfailing love. I don't know that we can really do that because we are sinful people. I think we need to strive to do that more and more, but no matter how hard we try, we're going to stumble and fall. And we're not always going to do it the way that God does. And so our love is not completely and totally unfailing like God's is. Though we continue to seek that unfailing love because it's created within us to do so. Our love is less dependable then in our relationships with one another. In fact, we use that word love in some really kind of strange and odd ways, and sometimes we use it not really even thinking about what we're saying. And we oftentimes will say to someone, "I love you," and maybe sometimes we don't really even mean it. It's just a way to say goodbye, see you later, maybe. But we say, "I love you." But you see, even though that our love is not an unfailing kind of a love, we still seek unfailing love from people. And I think that's where we oftentimes find ourselves getting into all kinds of problems, because we're looking for love in people that are incapable of providing that kind of unfailing love. And that brings us to the second point, the fact that the world is not enough. And what I mean by that is that because we have this created within us, this desire to have unfailing love, when we're not feeling like we're receiving it, then we have to pursue it. It's created within us to do that. A human being cannot just sit back and not look for unfailing love. That's what the wise man was talking about when he says what we desire is unfailing love. If we're not getting it, we're going to seek it. We're going to look for it. And unfortunately, what happens is because there's a void there, we have this need to fill that void, that is, for this unfailing love, and we end up seeking it from imperfect beings. And so often we come up empty. We get disappointed. And then we look for other ways to find that unfailing love that we so desperately need, that has been created within us. Singer and songwriter Johnny Lee wrote a song called Looking for Love, and in the chorus line of that song says, I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces. That just expresses the idea that when we're not finding the love that we so desperately need, that we go looking for it in all the places that we possibly think we can find it, but those places are wrong if we're not looking for it from Almighty God. And I think that's a problem that we have in the world today, is that people are looking for unfailing love in all the wrong places. They're looking for it in stuff. They're looking for it in possessions. They're looking for it in activity. They're looking for it in all kinds of things. In this desperate search to find unfailing love. The world and its people are never going to be able to provide unfailing love. But yet people will continue to search for it in the wrong places. Chasing after the stuff of the world is not going to fill the void that is there. There are some people that are making some really, really bizarre attempts to find unfailing love. With some people, it's with money. With others, it's possessions. With some people, it's their looks. And there's a story that I came across about a woman by the name of Cindy Jackson. And Cindy grew up in a small town farming community in Ohio, and she never really had the physical beauty that she desired. And so at some point in Cindy's life, she decided that she wanted to do something about that. She says on her website, when I was 6 years old, my parents bought me a Barbie doll, which served to fuel my escapist fantasies. In my imagination, I dreamed of a happy and glorious life for my doll. Through Barbie, I could glimpse an alternative destiny. And so she began a quest with inheritance money that she had received to have herself changed through cosmetic surgery to look like Barbie. Sarah Burgess, another woman who has the same kinds of thinking, I could just look like Barbie, then people will love me. Sarah, I understand, holds the world's record for the number of surgeries at 100. Cosmetic surgeries, $800,000 she has spent to try to have her body transformed so that she could look like Barbie. All in an attempt to try to find love. The fellow that wrote an article concerned about these kinds of things, and he has a list of 13 problems you could have if you're trying to look like Barbie. I want to share with you the last two that he has on here. Number 12 is, he says, will being beautiful like Barbie really solve your problems? If you think cosmetic surgery will make you happier and will get rid of your personal problems, think again. There are a lot of unhappy models, celebrities, and actresses who can tell you otherwise. And then number 13 is this. He says, are you trying to win someone else's love? He says, some women are under the influence that men want them to look like Barbie. Are men really obsessed with Barbie? What happens when the newness of cosmetic procedures wears off? Is it worth changing your appearance just to fit the image of a doll like Barbie? And then he asked this question, will the price you pay be too high? Now, I mentioned that because this is, of course, it's an extreme, but we should recognize that this represents the world, the people who are looking for love in all the wrong places, in all the wrong ways. Trying to find that unfailing love, the acceptance that we so desperately need, and coming up short. And we have to understand then and ask the question, what's the real answer? If that truly is something that we desperately need, if it truly is something that is created within us, this need for unfailing love, how do we find it? I believe the answer is that we find it in the only place it's available, and that is in the one who created it within us to begin with. We find it in Almighty God. And that really comes down to a question and an issue, which I believe is really the answer for us if we really understand it properly. That we need to begin to focus on and accept where our true value comes from. And understand that it does not come from how much money we have or where we live, what color our skin is. It doesn't come from what kind of clothes we wear, what kind of car we drive. It doesn't come from what we look like. Our value comes from God. It's interesting that Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 is talking about worrying and the fact that people worry so much. And look at the things that we worry about, you see. It's things like, what are we going to eat and what are we going to wear, you know? And we tend to worry about those kinds of things often, don't we? And Jesus says, stop worrying about that stuff. Notice what he says in verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? How valuable are we? We're valuable enough that God would send His Son to die for us. That's how much He wants a relationship with us. I've told some of you this before, and I want to close with this because I want you to think about this statement. A statement that some of you know, Brother Ken Ellis. Brother Ken shared this statement with me many, many years ago, back when I was a state trooper, years ago in my youth. And though you may not believe me right now, I hope you would just simply because I'm a preacher and I wouldn't lie to you, okay? But you may find this difficult to believe, but you know, in my younger days back then, I had a real big problem with confidence. To be able to stand up in front of a bunch of people like I'm doing right now, that just wouldn't have happened back then. Okay. I had a very, very poor sense of self-worth. And I struggled. I struggled with a lot of relationship stuff. Because I wanted to have unfailing love from people in my life, and I didn't get it. And I struggled with that. And that kind of carried over into a lot of areas of my life. And Ken, one time, shared this statement with me, and it's always stuck with me. And I think it's made all the difference in the world for me. He said this. He said, Russ, what you need to remember is your worth as a person does not depend on what anyone in this world thinks of you except God. Now think about that statement. Your worth as a person does not depend on what anyone in this world thinks of you except God. And God has unfailing love for you. That makes me feel tremendously valued. You see, we're never going to find unfailing love from people. It's just not there. Because we fail. It's part of our sinful nature. But God is the source of unfailing love. And when we get a handle on that, and we accept how valuable we really are because of God's unfailing love, then that can help us put all of the other stuff in a proper perspective. Okay? And then we can break that stronghold that Satan has over so many of us, where we're depressed and frustrated and hurt and angry and all of the other emotions that flood in there because we've not felt that unfailing love that we so desperately need. God is the one who has it for us. He has it for you. He has it for me. It doesn't ebb and flow. It doesn't come and go. It always is. If this is a stronghold that you're struggling with, feeling and searching for unfailing love, stop looking for it in all the wrong places because you're not going to find it there. Remember where you get your value from. And remember where you don't get it from. It doesn't come from anybody else but God. And hopefully that will help you to break through this stronghold so you can enjoy the relationship that God wants you to have and wants to have with you. This unfailing love relationship that he offers. It may be something that you're struggling with. Maybe those feelings and searching for unfailing love. If we can help you with that, to break down this stronghold, that's what we want to do. We can't help you if we don't know what's going on with you. We offer a time, an invitation time for anyone to be able to come and to say, hey, I need some help with this. And it doesn't necessarily have to be with this stronghold. It could be anything going on in your life that you need help with. You need prayers or guidance or teaching, whatever it might be, we can provide for you to help you to build a stronger relationship with God. That's what we want to do. If you're not a Christian yet, you've not given your life to Christ, you're ready to make that commitment, become his servant, his child, you can do that right now. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you need to confess him as such. You need to repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism so you can be reconciled to him and begin a new relationship with Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's your desire, if you're ready to make that commitment this morning, all you have to do is come up and let me know, and we'll do that right now. morning. Ted's got a song he's going to come up and lead for us, and we use this as an invitation song. Let's ask you to stand, and if we can serve you in any way, then please come let us know while we sing.